Welcome to another edition of the War Room here on KOKC Radio. I'm your host, Sean Fry. It is the 200th edition of the War Room today. My guest today is Kelsey Overacker, the Cherryvale High School girls basketball coach, assistant softball coach, former Levette athlete for both women's basketball and softball. Friend of the show, Kelsey. Let's argue about that. Let's argue about that illegal screen call in the UConn-Iowa women's Final Four game. Because I put onto Snapchat that call and I sent it to every coach in there that I have, and they go from D1 NCAA men's and women's coaches all the way down to high school, which is where you represent, and you were not happy about it.
No, I mean, obviously not a call to really argue about, but it's just a moment of the game. It was hard to watch it. Not really in like that because there was a little time left, but yeah, it was the right call. Just not fun to see it happen.
That's not what you said to me. Your response.
I said I would have been heated.
So if you were Ariyama, you're out of there.
I was also rooting for UConn. So
why were you rooting? Out of sheer curiosity, why were you?
I like both programs. I mean, Paige Beckers. I just wanted to see him pull it off.
Mm-hmm. The one thing. So when that foul call happened on the illegal screen on Aaliyah Edwards that Gabby Marshall for Iowa ran into, mm-hmm. The first thing I heard, and I tried to call him, but he was busy watching his son get engaged, which, good for him. No, that's great. But Anthony Houck, the Parsons boys coach, mm-hmm. he has told me on the record numerous times over the years because he tells me whenever I ask him about a last-second play, whether it went good or bad for Parsons, for his offense, he tells me that he draws up plays at end of game that are designed to deny the screen as the ball handler because he thinks refs love to call the illegal screens late in game, that they're looking for it. They're looking for it late in game.
Makes sense.
And so whenever he draws up an end of game or end of – particularly an end of game or an end of quarter play, he usually will want the ball handler to deny the screen. So I just heard him saying over and over again, oh, deny the screen. The refs love to call that when they made that call. Secondly, – Aaliyah Edwards went way outside her base and leaned her shoulder in to go get Gabby.
Yeah, I mean, she was just trying to do her job.
I get that. But thirdly, and I understand you and I probably won't see this live very often, if ever. I'm trying to think of high school shooters, boys or girls, that you would have to defend with the integrity that you would defend even close to a Caitlin Clark or a Paige Beckers. Right. I'm not like Tristan Gedd comes to mind from Levette County.
Sarwinski kid could pull it up from anywhere, I tell you that.
Yes, the Galena, yes. Mason English over at Pittsburgh comes to mind. Derek Williams from Parsons comes to mind. But like it's few and far between. Mm-hmm. You're seeing it more and more though. The shooters who don't need space to launch it from 25 feet and make it. And so, especially off a screen, and it's why I hate James Harden. I think James Harden is probably a fine person. He's ending his career really weirdly, but I don't think he's the devil by any stretch. But why I hate James Harden is he essentially found the glitch, which is, if someone sets a ball screen for him, he's going to take one step, and the defender who does the right thing by fighting over it is left in a position where he has to foul. I think we have to start rewarding defenders for fighting over the screen, and that's what Gabby Marshall did.
Right. I'm not disagreeing at any point. It was just a hard one to watch. You're not going to get an argument out of me. I was in the moment, too.
Fair enough. Let's go. I wanted to jump in, though, to the season that you had with Cherryvale. How many wins did you end up with? 16? 15?
16.
16 wins. 16-win season. Another appearance in the sub-state title game. Of the 7 losses, 5 were by 2 points or less. You point that out to me. You've pointed that out to me a couple times. I am curious. Now that the season's behind us a little bit, you've had about a month to digest it. How have you digested it?
I don't know if you ever really do. I mean, obviously the season goes away, but I mean, there are so many little things this year that, I mean, we're still proud of it. I point out the 5 losses just because, not that I don't think we shouldn't have won them or anything like that, but more of, we just had competitive kids. I mean, they stayed in ball games all year. They fought through a lot of things, good and bad, and I was really proud of them for that.
And a sixth of those five losses, a sixth, you add in a sixth to a Neota State team that you beat later in the year.
Yeah, it was early. That first one was pretty big. And honestly, that loss against Girard, double digits, it really wasn't a double-digit loss either. Just late in the game, you know, those things got away from us.
You've been at Cherryville for a while now. What was that, your sixth, seventh
year? Yeah, this was my sixth year.
Six. Yep. 95 wins in your 6 years there, which, I mean, that's putting you at about 13, 14 wins a year. That's tough to do. It is very, it is, that is actually, yeah, I think it's right around 14. You know, that is tough to do. Rodney V. Hill, your AD, and I, and your former coach when you were an athlete there at Cherryville, we were talking about, you know, kind of your whole tenure. This is the longest sustained period of success that Cherryville's girls basketball program has ever had. You know, what have you done really since you taken over? What is the common thread that you've been able to pull to stay consistent and always kind of be in that hunt, so to speak?
I mean, first off, you just got to realize I've had some pretty good players along the way. We haven't had a year that or even a couple years in a row that we don't have some standout players. We get kids to buy in early. Our relationships with our kids are really huge, so getting them in the summer. I mean, I teach most of them middle school now that I've been there a while. I get them in middle school for 2 years just as a teacher. So, getting to see them grow up and you make that connection early. I have really good help. Obviously, Taylor's been with me this whole time as well. We're in the building with them, so we see these kids day in and day out. But, I mean, they know we care about them and we want the best for them. We obviously hold them to high standards and expectations. And we definitely have our times, but the kids at the end of the day know that we love them and, I mean, we just do our best to keep these kids competing.
That's one thing that stood out to me, too, is you've had the same assistant all 6 years there, and Taylor. Is Floyd her maiden name or is Floyd her married name?
Floyd is her maiden name. She is a Westerhold.
That's right, Taylor Westerhold. She's Taylor Floyd to me. you know, you've had the same assistant. You've had the same AD, although God send him, Rodney V. Hill's retiring at the end of the year. How has that consistency been able to help? Because I was talking with the Parsons football director. I was the Parsons offensive coordinator for football, and the fact that Jeff Scheibe just finished his fourth season with Parsons football, it shut what was a very much revolving door of coaches for that program. It's brought consistency, and all of a sudden you saw the program turn around. How much has that, the sheer volume of consistency you've had amongst coaches and admins in that building, even scorekeepers, had to your routine there?
Yeah, I mean, you see it in all things. I mean, consistency is huge. Everybody's comfortable with who they're around and the things that we do. I mean, you obviously make adjustments every year, but the kids buy into it. And like I said, if they're comfortable with you and they believe in it, it makes everything so much easier. I mean, Rodney does a lot of things with us, even though he doesn't coach with us. I mean, he did for a little bit this year, but the kids go to him for a lot of things too. He coaches them in weights. It's very nice, and it's a huge thing to have. I mean, the kids are just used to it. I mean, comfort. Mm-hmm. And that, not only are the kids comfortable, we're comfortable as coaches, and it does. It makes a huge difference.
You know, everybody, you know, people will say you have to make yourself uncomfortable to be successful. You have to challenge yourself. That doesn't mean yes and no. You have to push yourself beyond your limits. But having comfort and consistency around you builds that support system and foundation necessary to give you the lift up there.
Yeah, they're more comfortable with getting uncomfortable if those people are around them.
Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to specifically ask you about, and you know, you and I have had these conversations before. I know the type of person you are. You never let go of some of the hardest losses you've had in your life, personally and professionally, literally and figuratively. You know, you can still talk about all the scenarios of when you were a softball player at LeBet and you lost your last game at regionals in Topeka. There was a game that stood out to me because in knowing you, and I am not ashamed. You and I are fairly good friends, at least in my mind. I don't know how you feel about it day to day.
Fair enough, Sean. Fair enough.
But after the Eureka loss was the first time I'd ever seen you cry. Oh. And obviously, I knew what that game meant. I'm going to recap it a little bit for the listeners. I know it's just like cheese grater to the ear or chalkboard to the ear for you, but It was a game where had you won, you'd have earned a share of the Tri-Valley title, first ever title in school history for the girls basketball program. Eureka, I think you and I can, you can honestly admit Eureka was the better team in the aggregate. They made it to state. They've been the better team in that league for a while. Not to say you're not good. That just shows how good Eureka is. Eureka was probably just a half step above you guys for a while. You guys were down by as much as 12 in the third quarter of that game, came back and led by, and were up by, I think, as much as 8, and you led by 7 with a minute left, and that lead went away. It was really compounded by, in the last 12 seconds, 4 straight free throws missed, where you had a 4-point lead. They go down, hit 2 buckets. That forced overtime, and you said it after the game, emotionally just drained after that. And I watched you come out of the locker room after that game, and it was homecoming. I could tell you did just not want to be there. I'm curious how that one is sitting with you after a while, because I saw what it meant to you, and it broke my heart.
Yeah. First off, I didn't cry. I did tear up a little bit. I think it was more frustration than anything. I mean, in my 6 years, you know, you always have these goals. You always want to win a league title. You always want to win a sub-state title, and you obviously want to win a state title at some point in your career. But that one, I mean, like you said, they've always been kind of a step ahead of us and everyone else in our league. And you know your teams that you get in the summer, and you know that who you have coming back and who else has whoever coming back. But I knew, like, this was probably our year. If we were going to get it, it was our year this year. We got close last year. We played 3 quarters with them last year. And then this year, I think just the sheer competitiveness that our kids put on the floor, and like you said, we were down 10-12 at one point. To be honest with you, Sean, I don't even remember that in the game. I think it was maybe third quarter.
Yep.
I don't know. But just how much our kids fought and how bad they wanted it, and we had the kids we wanted up at the line, on the line, when those free throws were missed. Obviously, some things I would go back and do different if I could. But, I mean, those are the things you think about after, and the things that you, when you're watching film and breaking down stats, things like that. But
would you have done differently?
I mean, there were just the free throw scenarios at the end. There were some things of probably leaving some players inside that, you know, Rodney and I talked about too. You just don't think about those things as much. I mean, you're not in those scenarios as much. The kids maybe being more comfortable with having their teammates there on the line with them. Just some things that, I mean, I know that's in the game, just like the foul call that was called in the UConn game. I mean, is that what won or lost the game? You can say yes or no, but there's so many things along the way that got to that point during that game that we probably shouldn't have been there anyways. But, yeah, I mean, that one probably hurt more than the Girard loss, and I know you want to make the stay, obviously, but we had it. I mean, 11 seconds, you're up 4, and, I mean, everybody in the gym could feel it. It's just
– and it just got taken away.
Yeah, I can still feel that. I mean, it's just unless you're or you've coached in this moment, or you've dealt with kids for so long, I mean, it probably doesn't seem like a whole lot to some people, and it's just high school basketball. But I felt really bad for the kids. I did. They busted their butts, and everyone knew this game was coming. Like I said, it was circled on my calendar for a while. I knew it was going to be the title game. Most of our league was rooting for us, but, you know, it's just, you're chasing that giant every year, and we had it, and unfortunately it just slipped right out of our hands.
Last thing I'll make it a little happier before we go to break. You, one thing I'll give your kids a lot of credit to, you know, I mentioned the stat at the top, 5 losses by 2 or 1 point, and a 6-1 by a team that you beat later in the year. You know, of your 7 losses, they still had a 15-win season and made it to the sub-state championship game. They still had what, by all metrics, is a successful year. When you have that many close losses, it can eat at you. You can start. For a season that had so many what ifs, the players still showed up and won the games they had to reach that metric of success. How do you, you know? That's impressive for high schoolers, I feel like.
Oh, it was tough. I mean, yeah, I've been coaching for a while now, and as a player, I've been through a lot. But those close losses, it was eating at everyone. It's like, what, you just go in the locker room, you keep saying the same thing, like, you just got to keep working. And that's mentally, I'm sure it was, and I know you could just see it in our kids' eyes. I mean, it's not that they, and I mean, our kids, those two free throws, I'll go back to it, those two free throw shooters that we had missed those free throws, those were the two kids that were in the gym every single morning, and they're questioning me, like, what do I got to do? I mean, it was hard. We did have our times where it's just, we're living wrong for whatever reason, and we got to figure out what it is, because this sucks, but, and that's why I said, I'm so proud of these kids, because they battled through so many things, and I mean, losing to a Girard team who almost made the second round of the state tournament. They were the better team on that night for sure. They did have some personnel that we probably couldn't cover. But, I mean, that's what's so nice. Every year we play in a very tough sub-state, and I know we've only been able to get through it one time, but it's obvious why. I mean, it's very competitive, and being a top, 12 team, I mean, made it 8, so top 16 team at the end of the year of 3A, I mean, we can't hang our head. It's not what I or we want, but you also can't sit here and
top six, top 16. That means if you just pulled four random teams, you're the best one out of it most years. So,
yep, it's tough
for sure. Let's go to a quick break. Kelsey, you'll stick around. We're gonna talk. We're gonna talk a little bit softball. Your alma mater. When we come back from break here on KOKC Radio, I'm your host Sean Fry. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the War Room here on KOKC Radio. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Kelsey Overacker, Cherryvale Girls Basketball Head Coach, Cherryvale Softball Assistant Coach, former Labette Community College Women's Basketball and Softball Athlete. Let's shift it to spring sports and softball a little bit. I saw a play last night. I can't remember if I sent it to you on TikTok. I sent it to a lot of people. The Texas center fielder on a relay gunning down an Oklahoma base runner to snap Oklahoma's Big 12 winning streak. It made me think of you because I know you were a very talented center fielder in at Labette under Ryan Phillips. And what Ryan loves the joke is I never got to saw you play. I was still in college myself when you were playing there, but the joke Ryan likes to make is you would just close your eyes and throw that ball as hard as you could back into the infield. And that's what it looked like the Texas center fielder did to get that Oklahoma runner out.
Well, he likes to make fun of me, but the catch before is what probably made it the best thing.
Yes, but what I wanted to ask about regarding Labette is we saw earlier this year is that Ryan Phillips got his 500th career win. You were a part of a little over 80 of those, I think. You know, you had two 40-plus win seasons at Labette, so, you know, nearly about a fifth of his wins, just shy of that, you were a part of in just a two-year span. Obviously, he's been in that program a while. He is the win. He has the most Jayhawk wins of any coach in the Jayhawk, D1 or D2. And I think he's the second all-time winningest coach in the conference. Lana Ross at KCK mm-hmm. is the winningest. I think she's like near 1,000. She's been doing it. She's been doing it way longer, and I want to say she won like a national title or something when she was at Iowa Western. She did most of her damage there, and she's still doing great at KCK. She did great the 1 year she was at Fort Scott. But Ryan Phillips, 500 wins earlier this year. I'm sure I've asked you this question on radio before, but take me back to those playing days. I know you're still close with the man. How do you kind of reflect on the impact he made, not just for yourself, but for the sport in the area as well? We see now he has a coaching tree. Kim Alexander, who was your assistant at Labette when you played there, she's the head coach at Neosho County now. They're looking like Jayhawk title contenders. Mm-hmm. Another one of his old assistants, Kaylani Bryan, and her assistant now, Katie Taylor, former Labette player. They're at Fort Scott. They're good this year. They were in the national polls at one point. Sam Campbell at Independence. She made the national tournament a year ago. She played with you at Labette. Even you coached at Indy for a little bit. How do you kind of reflect on all that?
I mean, just right there speaks volumes. I mean, you see the type of players and people that he brings into his programs, and he finds the one that fits that mold. Very high expectations, very high standards, carries himself at a very high level, and as big as a jerk as he could have been, he had that relationship with his kids, you know what I mean? And he expects a lot of high level things, whether that's on the field or in the classroom or continuing in your life, and That shows right now with what all these past players and past coaches are doing. And like you said, I mean, I think that these the ones that are still coaching right now, they both are going to be doing some big things this year while trying to play against him. So it's going to be fun to watch this year.
I remember when so Sam Campbell and Kalani Bryan both got their head jobs at their at Indy and Fort Scott respectively. They got them like I think like the same week. Like, they were hired really close together a couple of years ago. And so I did a story on that about how two former coaches with Labette ties got head jobs somewhere. And I interviewed Ryan about it. And I think I end every interview, especially on the phone, with, I think that's all I got for you. And so once I said that, he goes, I'm going to beat the piss out of them. He is still competitive to this day.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to be. It's always fun. It makes it fun.
It does. One thing that I'll tell you, you say he as big of a jerk as he can be, I'll tell you a funny story. One of his players told me to earlier this year was he was at practice and I don't know what they were doing, but he was getting on them. And I'm going to PG rate this for the radio, but he goes, do you think I woke up wanting to be a jerk today? Yes.
Some days we wonder.
I told that player that told me that story, the right answer was yes. That's how he woke up, wanting to be a jerk. But he is uber, I mean, he is, one thing that I like about his program, and I'm curious how maybe you could speak to it when you played there, it's just his creativity. The line I like to use with Ryan Phillips is, if you go watch Labette softball over the course of years, multiple times, you will see something in the sport you've never seen before done. whether it's, you know, in the national tournament, he scored 6 runs against the number 1 team in the country. The ball never left the infield. He loves to play small ball. He won a region title game on a bases loaded full count, two out bunt. You know, what about that? What was maybe some of the creative ways he got you guys to be successful? You are the only team that won a conference title with Ryan Phillips.
You know what? What I'll probably say is I think that he does a good job of understanding his players and what he can use them for and to make them the best that they can be. I mean, speaking for myself, I mean, we had a lot of fast kids. We played well together. We could make defensive plays anywhere around the diamond. I really think that's really what it came down to is he just let us go play. We were all pretty athletic, very competitive team, and we were all really good friends for the most part, and I think that was a lot of it. And I think he kind of just sat back and let us do our thing. I mean, he kept us in line, but outside of that, I think he just got out there and was just enjoyed the moment. I mean, he brought in a very good mold of kids that we all wanted the same thing, and that he did, and that's once you have that, it's pretty special.
I will, before we lead out into our last topic, I will end it with earlier this – I mean, I think it was this past week against Coffeyville. I've seen the man – barely react to walk-off home runs. Like, he just gives a fist bump and, you know, keeps his head down and keeps moving. But against Coffeyville, a team Labette did beat and should have beaten both times, Zoe Sparks, their leadoff hitter, one, what a line for game one for her. She's 1-for-1 with 3 runs scored and 2 RBI. So she got hit by a pitch once and walked twice and came around and scored all three of those times. But then up 6 with runners at 2nd and 3rd and with 2 outs, she drops a bunt that goes back to the pitcher. Pitcher has a little trouble fielding it, can't get her out at first. And he sent that runner from 2nd home, and she goes and scores. He comes jogging off that field so happy that he was able to push a 2nd run on a bunt. Like, just whenever he can be creative, that's him. And just be zany like that, that's him at his happiest.
Yep, knowing your kids, man. He knew that he could get them there. It's fun to watch.
Let's end. We got about 3 minutes, a little less than 3 minutes left. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, You took a new coaching role this year too, which is being back as the assistant head coach or the assistant coach of the Cherryvale softball team. You served in that role I think your first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back in the sport after about 5 years removed from it. I know softball. I mean, you were a college basketball player your first year at Labette, but then it was 2 years of softball at Labette, 2 years at Southwestern Oklahoma State at Labette.
Southeastern
Oklahoma State, I apologize.
It's okay, we're just better than them.
Southeastern Oklahoma for softball, and then you coach softball at Colgan, you coach softball at Independence Community College for a year. Softball was really your primary sport for a while, but now you're about 5 years removed from it. I know basketball is your first love. What's it kind of like just being back in the day-to-day aspects of that sport that probably its contributions to your life are equal to basketball? It were probably greater before you got back to Cherryville. I know how much you love the game of basketball, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think I love whatever the season is, to be honest with you. Just like to be competitive, getting back in everything. I think the kids that I get to involve myself with, a lot of them are basketball players. I think I got out of it after that first year. I mean, one, it's hard to be an assistant sometimes, but two, just some time. I mean, basketball season's so long and draining mentally and physically, but at the end of the day, I mean, what we're doing it for is the kids, and I enjoy them, and so just going to do another season, I guess.
There we go. Maybe you'll make the smart choice, and instead of softball, you'll do you did volleyball for a year. Go back to doing volleyball, so that way you can be done after you're doing basketball.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Probably not my strongest suit there.
that was a quick, funny story for you, as you were a JV volleyball coach for a year, and you won your first match, and you came over, and I was there because they had varsity matches. You won your first one, you came over to Rodney and I, and you're like, I'm done, I'm ending it 1-0.
Hey, our JV record was pretty good that year, I'm not going to lie. I think it was better than the other one.
But I think that'll wrap it up. Kelsey, always appreciate you coming on the show. Welcome back. It's been too long since I've had you on here. It's been a while. I feel like I have to drag you in here by your heels to get you in here sometimes.
Well, but I appreciate it, Sean.
For sure. That'll do it here on the War Room. Kelsey, thank you for coming on. Kelsey Overacker, Cherryville head coach of the girls' basketball team, softball assistant coach. Appreciate you coming on. I'm Sean Fry, your host of the War Room on KLKC Radio. Everybody stay safe and God bless.